Who's excited that he lives this morning? Come on. You know, that's probably one of my top three hymns right there. And I don't know what you're going through this morning, what circumstance or situation you may be facing, but I do know the Lord knows that. And he's not forgotten about you. He loves you. He brought you here today to encourage you, to edify you, to build you up, to tell you how much he loves you, to increase your faith. And so whatever it is that you're holding on to today, I just want you to know, look to the one who holds tomorrow in his hands. And he loves us so much. So listen, I just think, I don't know, it's okay, I got the mic, so I guess we're going to do this. I want to sing one more time. Can we just sing one more time? Come on, guys, I want you to come out. And let's just sing it together. Come on.
I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future.
That's new every single day of our lives. God, and despite our sin and our shortcomings, you still love us. You love us so much as you sent your son to die for us. And because he lives, Lord, there's nothing in our life that we will have to face alone, that we can't overcome because he is an overcomer, and therefore we can overcome the situations in our life. So, Father, for the next few moments, I pray you would turn our thoughts and our mind towards your Son, Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And, Lord, for everyone here, I pray that we will see him this morning in some form or fashion through the preaching of your word. And if we will see your Son, Jesus, this morning, we will not leave here the same. For it's in his name that we ask and we pray. Come on now, and everybody say, amen, amen. You may be seated. Go ahead and tell the person beside you, say, hey, I'm glad you're here today. Glad you are here today. We're in this series called Built Strong. Thank you so much, worship team. Called Built Strong, and it's the family series, and we're talking about how do we build strong families. We know this. The enemy is trying his best to destroy families. He hates families. We learned last week that even marriage is a picture of the bride, and Jesus is a picture of the church. And if we're going to have a strong foundation, right, any strong family has to have a strong foundation. And I personally believe that the strong foundation begins in the marriage. You need to have a strong marriage. If you missed last week, maybe your marriage is doing great. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Either way, I want to encourage you, if you missed last week, you need to go and watch last week's message. Whether you can download our app, you could go online or YouTube, Facebook, you can watch it, go to our website. And I would love for you to keep up with that, especially everyone who's watching online as well. We know you guys keep up with that. But listen, don't just stay online. We want you to get in the house to come worship with, because I'm telling you what, you missed something special today, man. God is doing something in this place and in our midst. And I just want to encourage you, if you can get here, get here, get here. But if we're going to have a strong family, I believe it begins with a strong marriage. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage, so don't beat yourself up. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. But if we're going to continue having a strong foundation, we need to figure out how do we become strong parents. And I think strong parenting is another step that we need to take to build a strong foundation. Today is kind of geared towards parenting. And when you think about parenting, a lot of times it's very difficult in some circumstances because, I mean, if you think about it, let's have a disclaimer here. Everyone is at a different stage. You can't parent an 18-year-old like you do a 5-year-old. They're different. In fact, I would say you can't even parent your kids the same because God has wired them differently. Every one of your kids are different and unique, and you can't parent them all alike. You have to figure out how has God wired them, how has God fixed them so you can parent them according to their needs and how they can respond. And so when we think about that, we know there's some difficulties when it comes to parenting. For instance, some of you like me, I come from a broken family. Maybe for you, you get your kids one weekend and you do everything you can. You bring them to church, you pray with them, you teach them the Bible, you do everything you can. And then your kids goes to the other spouse's house for the next weekend or for the week, and then they don't go to church. Or they don't care about the Bible, they don't care about this stuff. And you as a parent, you're trying your very best to navigate to raise your kid in this world. And you're trying to hopefully somebody else would help you, but you feel all alone. And you figure out, how do I do that? That's life. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to do the very best we can as a parent to lay a spiritual foundation. Because here's some truths we got to face here real quick. Number one, parents, it's our responsibility for our kids' spiritual foundation. It's not the church responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the children's pastor. It's not the youth pastor. It's the parents. It's the parents' responsibility to lay a spiritual foundation for their kid. And so many people want to just offset it to the church as if just 1 hour here on a week is enough to lay that kid's spiritual foundation. That's why in our kids' ministry, we want to partner with you as parents, and we want to help parents throughout the week help their kid build a spiritual foundation because you're with them way more time than we are with them ourselves. And the Bible, Ephesians 6:4 says this. Remember last week we were in Ephesians chapter 5, talked about marriage. And in verse chapter 6, it goes into talking about a little bit about parenting. It says this in verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Now, let's just go back real quick. Why did he address dads? This is not a Father's Day message. This is a parenting message. Father's Day is next week. But remember in chapter 5, there's an order to the family. And there's an order to the family. There's an order to everything that God sets up. This universe has an order. Everything. The church has an order. So there's an order. And he addresses the dad. He can look at the parents and said, parents, don't provoke your kid. But he looks to the dad and said, listen, keep things in order. Dads, don't provoke your children to anger. But then it says this, rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Now, the crazy thing about this is not even an option. This is a command for parents, for we to discipline and instruct our kids, don't miss this, that comes from the Lord. Now, I know what you're saying. My kids are old and they're grown and they're out of the house. Listen, from what I figured out, I'm 41 years old and my mama, she still parents me. You know what I'm saying? You don't stop being a parent. You have to change some things. There's some things you don't parent a 41-year-old like you do a 5-year-old one. You know, some of you, that might be your problem. You're still trying to do that, but that's another sermon, you know, we'll get to later. But everyone is different. So I looked up those words, discipline and instruction. And when you think of discipline, the first thing that comes to your mind is like putting your kid in timeout or spanking your kid or whatever. You got to discipline your child like that. That's the first word, but that's not what that word means. Now people say, Pastor Dan, you spank your kids? Well, if I have to spank my kids, I'll spank my kids. I mean, I'm not against that. That's not a problem, but I figured out something better now as my kids get older than spanking them. You know what that is? Take away their iPod and their iPad. Or their iPhone, and you'll find out the world comes crashing down. Dad, if you take my iPhone, you know what happens? What happens, son? All the streaks on Snapchat will end. They depend on me. The world depends on my streaks, Dad, and if it doesn't, you don't understand. If you do that, I got to give my friend my username and password. They got to go on and extend the Snapchat, Dad. You can't take my phone. Can I just get on there and fix the streaks? Oh, no, give me the phone, right? It works. They will cry for days, literally. They will cry, please give me my phone. Hey, here, literally, they'll say, Dad, spank me now. Spank me, I'd rather take a spanking, right? Please, because I got to keep the streak going. And then when you give their phone back to them or their iPad or iPod, you don't see their chin for 2 weeks. Thanks, Dad, you're the best. I'm so glad you gave it back to me. Like, you don't even see their face. Just talk to me, son, right? There's ways, but that's not what that word discipline means. That word discipline means this, to train, to educate your child and to cultivate their mind and their morals according to the word. Discipline means as a parent, I'm here to train my child. I'm here to educate my child in what? In the ways of the Lord. That's what the word discipline yourself, to teach and train your kids in the ways of the Lord. But then it goes on to use the word instruct. The word instruct actually means a cautionary advice. See, this is where I think sometimes it may play into parents who have older children, right? Your kids are out. You may have grandkids now, and they still come to you for advice. You, as a parent, are still to instruct your kid with cautionary advice that comes from the Lord. They need to have the words wisdom spoken into their life. But don't get where it comes from. It comes from God. But here's another benefit of laying a spiritual foundation. It's God's blessing in my family for generations to come. I want you to look at this verse in Psalm 78. This is a fascinating verse. Look at this. It says, "For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach their children so that the next generation may know them, and even the children not yet born, and they will turn and teach their own children." When you read this, there are four generations represented in this passage. What does that mean? Parenting is just not for today. Parenting is just not now. Your family tree, you think about this, you have the power to influence your entire family tree for generations to come on how you parent today. So if you will get that perspective that it's just not about the here and the now, that I'm setting up my kids and my grandkids and my great-great-grandkids, that maybe, just maybe, that God could use me to change my family tree to pass down what? The ways of the Lord. You see this. So parenting is, it's huge undertaking, but it's got so much more eternal impact than we can ever imagine. And so today what I've decided to do is, this is a parenting message. So whether you're a parent or your kid is five or their kid's 55, I think today and the message is going to kind of help you understand on what are some things we could do to really impact our children, no matter what age they are. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 6, and if you have a smartphone or iPad or something, I'm using the New American Standard Translation. You go to Matthew chapter 6, and when you look at this passage, there's some very basic passage that I think that we can learn some truths from when it comes to parenting our kids. Now, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. How many of you heard the Lord's Prayer before? Come on, get your hands up. You could probably cite the Lord's Prayer, right? You've seen it on a plaque, poster, a card, whatever. You know the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer, honestly, really, this is really not what we would think the Lord's Prayer. If you want to know what the Lord's Prayer is, read John chapter 17, where the Lord really prayed out. But this right here is actually the disciples' prayer, because he said, "Forgive us our sins for those who sinned against us." He never sinned before. Jesus don't have to pray and ask God to forgive him of his sins. This is a modeled prayer for us to learn at the benefits that's in it for us to pray. Now, we're not to pray the Lord's Prayer over and over and over. There's nothing wrong if you pray the Lord's Prayer over and over and over. There's nothing magical or special about that if you pray it over. You are praying God's word, so it's not like a negative thing, but it's not just the only thing that we say or we pray. You know, I never forget when I was in high school, my senior year, I was the captain of the basketball team, and I'll never forget, before every basketball game, we'd be in the locker room, and Coach Justice would look at me, and he said, "Vinny, lead us in prayer." And I would lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And I thought that was fascinating, because I was living like a hellion throughout the week, but I come into ball games, I got to say the Lord's Prayer, like, as if that's going to make the basket go. You know, the ball's going to go in if I say the Lord's Prayer, right? And so we would repeat this as the Lord's Prayer, as if God's in the win or losses. Now, some of you, I don't know, you really believe that. That's up for debate. Does God really want one team to win or the other one? Okay, that's up for debate. We could talk about that later. But the Lord's Prayer is not something that's this magical formula that's you sprinkle it on grace over something and something magical is going to happen. There's a principle behind what he's saying here that if we apply it, we will learn some things in our lives that we can apply not only to our own personal lives, I believe today, to parenting. So I'm going to share with you, and there's a bunch here, but we're going to get through it in the next 18 minutes. I'm going to share with you 8 truths from the Lord's Prayer that you can apply to parenting your life. Now, I understand the next 18 minutes can't fix all your parenting issues. I understand that, because you may have a kid that's gone sideways. You may have a kid, listen, parents, listen, some of you, you've done everything possible. You raised your kid in church. You took them to Sunday school. You let them go to church camp. You did everything you knew what to do. You pointed them towards Jesus. You did all that. But one thing that God has given you, and is the same thing he's given your child, and that is a free will. And they have a choice that they have to make. And a lot of times parents begin to blame themselves. Listen, there's no such thing as a perfect parent. And if you blame yourself, listen, yes, are there mistakes that we made? Sure. Can we go back and change it? We may try to right that what was wrong. But at the end of the day, everyone has a choice. And so we as parents, listen, people said, "How's it working?" I'll let you know when they get older if it worked or not. I'm doing my very best to figure out how. I am not a perfect parent. I've got so much ways to go. I have way more failures than I had successes when it comes to parenting, because it feels like a this is what? It's a trial and error. You have to see how it works for every single different kid. But I think in this passage, we're going to learn some things that we can apply, no matter if your kid is 5 or they're 55 years old, you're going to be able to apply as a parent to your parenting relationship with them. So if you're ready to get started, so let's go. All right, verse 9, here we go. The Lord's Prayer says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, I love this one, this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so here are some truths I think that you can apply from this passage when it comes to parenting. Here's the first one. I encourage you to take notes. You need to write this down. Somebody needs to know this, and you need to remember these things. It's a good stuff. You get extra credit in heaven if you take notes, okay? So write this down. I'm just kidding. You don't get extra credit. That'd be cool, but you don't. Here's the first one. Ready? God wants a relationship with me. God wants a relationship with me. I don't care if your kid is 5 years old or 55 years old. You need to let your kid know that God wants a relationship with them. And you can never start too early on this. God wants a relationship with them. You may say, where do you get this from? Look at the first two words of the prayer. Our Father. Father implies in a relationship. There is a relationship there when you come to Jesus. There's a relationship there when you begin to pray. He is your heavenly Father. Sadly, that most people raise up having their worldview or picture of their heavenly Father, how their earthly Father has treated them. It's just facts. We see this. We study this. We've met, and you can see this in counseling with people. If their dad is this way, then maybe God looks out this way. If their dad was this certain way, maybe God looks out in this certain way. And when we start looking at the statistics, and I started doing some research, is that 24% of white kids today in America are raised up in a fatherless home. 42% of Hispanic children today, no father in their life. 66% of African Americans today, dads have checked out and there are no dads in their life. Folks, that's a lot of kids without a dad or a father figure in their life. And here it is. Every kid needs a dad in their life. Whether it's your stepdad, not your blood dad, they need a father figure in their life. Because I'm telling you what, the day the kids are raised up with, they're insecure, they're having all these issues, they're thinking back, and not that having a dad is like all the problems, because some of you've had a dad and all that stuff, and your kids still went sideways. It's not the problem, but it is a huge problem in our country today, and we're asking for fathers to step up. This ain't a Father's Day message, but I'm just trying to tell you, there's something when the dad steps up, especially in laying the spiritual foundation. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, fathers, make sure that you instruct and you discipline, teach and educate your children in the way. But honestly, most dads today have defaulted that either to the wife or defaulted that to the church. And it's not their responsibility. It's the parents, yes, together, husband and wife, to lay the spiritual foundation. They need to know, every kid needs to know, that God loves them unconditionally. That God loves them unconditionally. So what's the first thing you need to let them know? God wants a relationship with you. And if you're a parent or expecting a parent and they're very infant, you need to be speaking to that over them from day one into their life. That God wants a relationship with you. That God loves you. From day one, they need to know that. Here's the second thing. Well, let me hear it. I just had a thought here. This morning, my son, I have three of them. I can't remember which one. So there's three of them. Yeah, there's three. And my middle son, so Logan, he went and filled up my daughter her milk cup. And she was blown away. She calls him Wawa. She said, why does Wawa fill my milk cup up? Well, my wife looked at him and said, because he loves you, honey. And she looks back at my wife and she said, like Jesus loves me, Wawa loves me. She's 3 years old. Oh, I know, right? One time I had one success. There's so many more fails there, right? But what I'm trying to say is, it's never too young to let that kid know that Jesus loves them and speaks to them over and over and over that stuff over them. Here's the second thing. God's name deserves my honor. We need to make sure our kids know, whether they're 5 or 55 parents, that God's name is worthy and deserves my honor. The highest, highest value is the name of God. You know, in the Bible, the names had something. It meant something. It said something about your character. And in the Bible, there's tons of names for God that we should respect. Like Jehovah Shalom, which is God, he is my peace. If you need peace, he is your peace. There's Jehovah Jireh, which means God is my provider. And whatever time in your life you need to claim those names of God, depending on the circumstance you're going through, he says, you can count on me and that you would honor my name. He says this in verse 9, he says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Set apart is your name. There is no other name like God's name on the planet or in the universe. And our kids need to know that, because most times when people talk about God, they use him with the exclamation point. And when they go, oh my God, right? I mean, that's when they actually talk about God or ever use his name. His name is to be reverenced. God is holy. He is set apart. And I think that we teach our children that. That's why it's part of the Big Ten, right? The Big Ten and the Ten Commandments, that we shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain, because we should honor his name. His name is worthy of honor. I think that's very important for us as parents to make sure that we teach and train that to our kids. There's a bunch of them, so we're walking through this. Here's number three, and this is a big one, is that God has a plan for me. God has a plan for me. This is hard for some of you parents. It's hard for parents in general. See, God has a plan for you. When in reality, a lot of times, parents, you have a plan for your kid. Some of you are trying to live your dreams, your failed dreams, through your kids. Because you failed, you think they can do it. And you're trying to live your dreams. Some of you, you were successful at your dream, and now you want your kids to follow in your footsteps. And you say, listen, I know this, but I've got a plan for your life. College students, you know, there's college students whose parents tell them that if you go to this school and major in this, I'll pay for your education. Why? Because I want you to do what I want you to do, and I want you to have my plan. The greatest things we can do with our kids is from as early as we can, and it doesn't matter if your kid's 50 or 55, you could tell them, listen, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for your life. There's probably not a week or so goes by I'm telling my kids this. God's got a purpose for you. God's going to use you. I can't wait to see what God does in your life. God's going to use you greatly. My 14-year-old, he had a decision to make, and he came for me, and he said, Dad, I need some advice. I need, what would you do? Tell me what I need to do. And for the first time, and this is our big decision, and I looked at him, I said, son, listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do here. He goes, come on, Dad, you got to help me. I said, listen, let me share this with you. God's got a plan for you. And God says, you need to go pray. Both decisions are not a bad decision. Both of them work. You and go and pray and listen to Jesus. And whatever God tells you to do, that's what you need to do. That's a scary thing to entrust a 14-year-old to go in there and say, do you hear from Jesus? But that's the part of training and educating, is trying to teach them and say, listen, go. Listen to Jesus and do what he tells you to do. So go in there and pray about it. And come back and tell me what God tells you. See, there's a point there. I could step in as the parent and says, this is what I want you to do. This is what I perceive is best. But I got to understand something, is that God has placed him into a bigger plan that I cannot even see. Right, parents? There's a bigger plan here than what we just see for our kids. So there comes a point that we step back and say, how do we kind of gently nudge them into the ways of the Lord? Says, you now go and seek God, and you go see what he has planned for you. And that's scary sometimes. But we as parents, we have to learn how to do that. Because listen, if we raise our kids up making them the center of the world, listen, we have just hurt them. Because they're going to raise up being self-centered and selfish, and they're going to live a very miserable, unhappy life if they think the world rotates around them. And so parents, we have to watch out for that. One big thing, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan, and God's going to use you greatly. Here's the fourth one. God will meet all my needs. We need to let our kids know this. Listen, God's going to meet your needs. God's going to meet your needs. God's going to help you. He is going to meet your needs. I love this verse. I emphasized it when I read it. Verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Why not annual bread? Right? Why not monthly bread? He's talking to bread. He's talking about provision. I will give you provision. I'll give you daily provision for your life. Why not monthly provision? I want to know monthly provision. Don't you know what I'm saying? I want to plan this stuff out. Like, give me the next year provision in my life. He's like, no, I'm not going to give you monthly. I'm going to give you daily. Why are you just going to give me daily bread? Why are you just going to give me daily provision? Because I want you to trust me every single day of your life. And we need to teach our kids this, that God will meet all your needs. And really the reality is that we need to teach our kids that you got to depend on God, son. You can do this. Depend on him. He will meet your needs. He will answer your prayers. In fact, this is really the key and the antidote to worrying, is really just to depend on God. God, I got to trust you. Even though I don't feel, I'm just going to say it. I trust you that I'm going to claim your promises. I'm going to claim your provisions for my life and trust you're going to come out because I trust you. Teach your kids. Listen, God's going to meet your needs. You know, I don't know about you, with four kids in a house and house all over the place and toys everywhere and everything running around and folding clothes. Goodness gracious, you could do laundry for days, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're still looking for your kid. They're under a pile of laundry somewhere, right? You still got to fold. And so, if you're like our family, we kind of misplace things a lot around the house, you know, not because we're just kind of forgetful a lot of times. Like, man, something got moved, right? We moved it over. Like, everything was on a dining room table, and then someone says, hey, I'm getting ready to stop by. You know what happens? You sweep it all in the box, throw it in the closet, you put it in another room, right? Don't look in my closets when you come to my house, okay? You know what I'm saying? And then 2 or 3 weeks later, you're like, hey, have you seen that? Well, last time I saw it on the table. So what we've tried to do is really teach our children, when they can't find something, to pray about it. Pray about it. And it's fascinating. We'll sit there and, like, we look for it. Has anybody seen this and this? And next thing there, you'll hear a kid say, well, did you pray about it, Dad? Right? Pray about it. So anyway, my 7-year-old, I was in the bedroom Friday. He comes running through the house. Daddy, Daddy, I found it. I found it. He said, I prayed and asked God, and it popped in my head, and I found it. I said, son, what did you find? He says, a Pez dispenser. All your needs, right? And I was like, son, if there's anything to pray about, it's a Pez dispenser. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like you just keep going through and you stretch it up and pop the head off of it because you think there's more in there, right? I hope when we get to heaven, there's an endless Pez dispenser for everybody, right? No sugar or calories. Just eat all you want. Wouldn't that be amazing? But what I'm trying to do is, like, trying to teach, like, depend on him. He'll meet your needs. Go pray if you can't find it. If you can't find it, look for it, because he wants to help you, son. Here's a fifth one. God forgives me, so I must forgive others. God forgives me, therefore I need to extend forgiveness to other people. He said this in verse 12. He says, and forgive us of our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. Parents, your child is going to get hurt in this world, and there's nothing you can do about it. No matter how hard you try to protect them, they are going to get hurt. Their heart's going to get broken. Their feelings are going to get hurt. Something's going to happen, and they're going to get hurt. And also, your child someday is going to hurt someone else. They're going to say something they shouldn't have said. They're going to do something they shouldn't have done. And they're going to hurt someone else. And those two actions right there produce two of the most negative emotions that people raise up with: guilt of what I did, and resentment for what you did to me. And the earlier you can teach your kid that God loves you and forgives you unconditionally no matter what you've done, therefore you need to extend grace to the person who wronged you on the playground or at work in the cubicle beside you. If your kid's older and already at work, it doesn't matter. You've received the grace, therefore guess what? Removes my guilt. I extend my grace to you, therefore removes my resentment and my bitterness. And those are two things that we really need to, no matter what age your child is, we got to let them know that you need to forgive others because God has forgiven you. And parents, listen to me. The best place for your kid to see that is in you. Does mom and dad hold grudges? Has mom and dad forgiven each other, especially if you come from a broken family and all you talk about negative, how bad it hurt to their father or how bad to their mother? And then you're trying to raise your kid in the way and say, you need to extend forgiveness. Like, dad, you don't even forgive. See, parents, it's about not just the now, it's generations to come. Can you go back and fix it? No, but today, by George, you can make it the best one you could ever make it. It may take time to fix it. It may take time to go back and build trust. It may take some time to do it, but you're never too late. As you've got breath, God still's got a purpose and plan. And if you come to this church long enough, you're going to believe that the best is yet to come, no matter how bad your circumstances may be. That God can and will do something great because he's in a big picture that we can't even see. So 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and we need to teach that to our children. And so when our kids mess up and blow it, when you say, you need to go confess that to the Lord. Go talk to the Lord about that. Why? Because we want them to know that God forgives them, and therefore they need to learn how to forgive others. Here's the sixth one. God will help me do what's right. Right? Don't we pray this as parents, especially for our teenagers? God, please let them do what's right. Right? God will help them do what's right. He says right here in verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation. I promise you, your child's going to be tempted just like you. Kids, listen to me. If you hear kids in here and you're still living at home, listen, your parents went through everything you went through. Every temptation you've gone through, they've gone through. You might think your mom and dad are not cool, but I promise you, they went through every single thing that you have gone through. Everything you've gone through. Today, it's more public. It's out all over the place. And dear Lord, I praise Jesus they didn't have video cameras when I was growing up as a kid. Can I get a witness? My gosh, everything's caught on camera, right? But the truth is, they did. So give your parents some slack. They do that because they love you and they care about you. They listen, they understand this. They've been through some of this. There's some wisdom there. So give your parents a break there. But I'm here to tell you that, listen, God will help you when you face temptation. God don't just expect you to do what's right. He empowers you to do what's right. And I think this is a big one because he'll give you the ability to resist temptation. And here's the problem, parents, that I found even in my own life that we got to help our children is that we tell our kids what's right, but we don't teach our kids how to tap into the Holy Spirit within them to help them do right. That empowers them. Because the Bible says every time you're tempted, God says, I promise you, I'll provide a way out. That's right, honey. When you go to that party, God always provides a way out of that. If something's going on, there's always a way out. Here's the question, are we really looking? So parents, we've got to teach our kids how to tap in to the Holy Spirit within them that empowers them to do what's right. Because God will help them. And the sooner we can teach this to our children, the better off I believe they will be, that God will help me resist the temptation, the peer pressure at school and the peer pressure at work, whether your kid is 5 or 50. God will help them, and that's something I think as parents we can encourage our kids to do. Here's the seventh one. Almost finished. God will protect me from evil. We need to teach our kids, God will protect you. Parents, you need to understand this. God will protect your kid from evil. It says in verse 13, but deliver us from evil. Parents, you cannot protect your kid from everything that's going to happen to them. You can't protect them. You do as best as you can. You can do everything you can. But you can't protect them what's going to happen to them. But guess what? God can. And God already knows tomorrow. We just sung it. He already knows what's going to happen. And so we as parents got to figure out that God is in control. And he's going to help them. Listen, I want to be my kid's hero. But the reality is I'm not. I need to point them to Jesus. Because he's going to walk with them for all eternity. He's going to help them in every circumstance and situation that I may not see. So I want to trust that God will protect them from evil. And at times I'll go into my kid's bedroom after they have fallen asleep. And I will put my hand over them and I would pray over them. I would say, God, protect them. They're yours. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. Use them to change the world. Give them sweet dreams tonight. Protect them from the enemy who wants to devour them. And I will whisper that prayer in their ear. You might say, well, why do you wait till they fall asleep? Because they won't sit still long enough if they weren't asleep. Come on. And you pray that over them. Why? Because we're going to have it tonight, right? A child dedication where we get as parents to say, God, I give you this child. He's yours. She's yours. I trust you're going to take care of her. And we do that, right? We say, God, they're yours. But all of a sudden, we want to hold them back. No, God, let me. I know what's best for them, God. No. You said they're mine. You dedicated to me, right? To raise them in my way. Yeah. Then let me. Trust me. You keep them coming. You keep them in the Word. You keep them focused on Jesus. And I can protect them. And then the last one, and that is, there is more to life than the here and now. There's more to life than the here and the now. He says in verse 13, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Don't miss this word. Forever. Forever. I looked up that Greek word forever. You know what it means? Forever. It's crazy. It's forever. What's that mean? Here's the implication. That your kid's going to live forever in one of two places. A place separated from God or a place with God. And parents, listen, we're going to do everything we can in our power. God's given them free choice. But as long as we have breath as parents, whether our kid is 5 or 55 and all in between, we are going to point them to Jesus. We're going to try to lead them to Jesus. And we're going to let them know that there's more to life than the here and now. There's more to life than the here and now. We're going to live forever. Keep your eyes focused on eternity. You know, I looked up this week, what is the latest life expectancy in the United States? And the average life expectancy today is 78. Now, if you're a teenager or 20, you don't think much about that. You're 41, oh my gosh, half my life is over. What am I doing with it? You're in your 50s, you're getting closer, 60s, whoa. Just around the corner. Some of you are in your 70s. And the question is, listen, life is more than today. And what are we doing as parents to set up the next generation to come that changed this city, that changes this region, that has the potential to change the world? You see, parenting is just about not here and now. It's about for generations to come. And I believe if we could get that perspective, especially at an early age, then maybe, just maybe, we can change this place. And maybe, just maybe, we can change our generations to come in your own family tree. That it begins with you. Because here's the reality. Everything you need and everything your child need, you ready for this? It's found in God. Everything. I love what Lamentations 3 says. It says, deep in my heart, I say, the Lord is all I need. I can depend upon Him. And I think that sums it up as parents. Like, that's what we point our kids to. So let's train our kids and let's educate our kids and let's give our kids advice from what? From God's word, to lead them in God's way, no matter how old they may be, no matter how young they may be, so that we would teach them the ways of the Lord. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you if you would just to bow your heads just for a moment. I don't know. I just sense today that some of you here, and you've really been beating yourself up as a parent. Yes, we've all made mistakes. Come on. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. I don't know. Maybe I just sense there's a dad here, and you're like, no, I've really been absent from my kid's life, and can I go back and make up that time? No. Are there consequences? Sure. May it take some time to build back respect, trust, honor, maybe. But it's never too late. So don't you quit. Doesn't matter where you've come from. Today's a new day. Today's a new day to start being the parent that God's called you to be. And the reality is, if you're going to show your kid Jesus, mom and dad, you need to know Him. And the greatest thing you could do for your family today is to give your life to Jesus. Whether you're sitting here in the house or you're watching online, you can give your life to Jesus today. If that's you and you want to say, you know what, I'm ready to change my family tree. I'm ready to change my life. I'm going to live forever and I want to live in a place called heaven for all eternity. And I'm going to do everything I can to take my family and people around me with me. If that's you, then today I want you to just pray and ask God to save you this morning. Now listen, saying a prayer don't save you, but your lips can proclaim what your heart declares. And whether you're watching online or you're here in the house, listen, if that's you, I want you to pray with me. Say, Jesus, I need you. I believe you came for me. I believe you died for me. And I believe you got up out of the grave for me. And today I come before you to repent of my sin. I've blown it. And to give my life to you. Now help me live for you all the days of my life. And if you're a parent and you pray that, say, Lord, now help me. Be the mom or be the dad that you've called me to be. Now, if that's you this morning, I don't know, for some reason I did this in the first service, but I just want to know, if you prayed that with me to give your life to Jesus, come on, get your hand up. I want to pray for you. Get your hand up. Come on. Get it up. Anybody else all over the place? Look at this. Oh, goodness grace. Get your hand up. Come on, put it down. Give it up. I'm going to pray for you. For God to do something great. I see you, girl. Get your hand up there. Praise the Lord. Now, listen to me. Every one of you, raise your hand. There's a worship guy in front of you or maybe in your chair. We want to know that today you gave your life to Jesus. You can give that to a team member when you leave, or please honestly, go to the red room and say, listen, today I prayed with Pastor Daniel, gave my life to Jesus, and you know what? We want to give you some resources. We want to help you in that journey because I believe that God's going to use you greatly and the best is yet to come. One more thing. If you're a parent or you're expecting to be a parent, I want to pray over you. Would you please stand to your feet if you're a parent or if you're expecting to be a parent? I just want to pray over you. So let's pray. God, look at everyone who's standing in the house this morning. Lord, if they're watching online, I pray they stand up watching online. God, I want to pray for their family. God, you know the circumstance, you know the situation, you know the trials and the heartaches and the pain and the suffering. God, you never said this would be easy. But with your Son, we can do all things because He's overcome the world. We can overcome anything in our life. And so, God, for everyone who's standing up, I pray for this special anointing on their life. That God, yes, I know they can't go back and right wrongs, but today they can begin to move forward and be the parent that you've called them to be. And so, God, surround them with your presence. Give them favor in their kids' eyes as mom and dad do the very best they can to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And some of these people are sitting here today, Lord, they're raising their grandkids. And God, let them start with their grandkids and raise them in the right way of the Lord. And we can't wait to see what you're going to do, Lord, because we truly believe that the best is yet to come. For it's in your Son's name we ask and we pray. Come on now, and everybody say amen. Let's stand and worship.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message, you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.